There was a lot of differences between now and 2,000 years ago. We didn't have anything like the Red Cross, which was took care of people on both sides of a battle. We didn't have organizations with the charitable organizations like we have today. So we have made a lot more progress than people think. And it goes against what I learned in church. When I used to go to church, I often heard the phrase, "We are living in the most wicked generation that ever lived." You know, have you heard that a lot? Yeah, it's not. It's not the, you think about it, it's not the wickedest generation at all. If you read the ancient history, they were really terrible. Now, you go back to the ancient Israelites, they're criticized because they'd conquer a people and they would maybe kill everybody in the town or whatever, and the people say, well, that was horrible. But the other nations were even worse. Other nations, they would not just kill you, they would torture everybody. You know, Israelites didn't torture people after they conquered them. They just either enslaved them or eliminated them. And they were fairly merciful about it. In comparison to the other nations that, you know, they would sacrifice their babies. They would take their wives and rape them and abuse them. By our standards, the ancient Israelites were kind of rough, but their enemies were a lot rougher than they were. And this is what the critics of the Bible leave out, is that as time progresses, that which is good or evil in one time becomes something else in another time. That which was good in the days of Moses became evil in the days of Jesus. And that which was good in the days of Jesus has become evil today. What was good in the days of Jesus that has become evil today?
Slavery.
What?
Slavery.
Yeah, slavery was considered good, not by Jesus or the apostles, but there was something else that was considered really good or reasonably good back then that is now people realizing it's not so great. And John the Revelator realized it when he wrote the book of Revelation.
Strong authority.
Right. Strong authority was considered a good thing. Jesus was a central authority, and he organized the molecule around him. Back then, people's consciousness could not transcend strong authority. But John realized that, and this is one of the base, there's a lot in the book of Revelations. We'll just touch on a couple things. And eventually we're going to have a Zoom class covering the entire book. What's interesting is that authority has been considered, strong authority has been considered a good, something that's good. And at the days of Jesus, it was considered a very good thing. You have a king with strong authority, it's good that we got a king. Man, this king, if you don't do what he says, off with your head. We really respect the guy as long as it's the right head that goes off, you know, not my head. So the strong authority was respected, and Jesus had to set up the organization of the molecule that day with fairly strong authority, and he had to demonstrate that authority with the great miracles he performed. And the great miracles he performed caused people to look upon him as, wow, this is a man with authority. Like when he stilled the winds, when there was a big storm, they asked, what manner of man is this that even the winds obey him? And they began to see his authority, respect it. And that authority was good, but the way it was seen was not so good. And there was something flawed in the way the authority began to develop after the days of Jesus. And John the Revelator saw that this was happening. And he says, even now, the Antichrist is in the world, he says. And what is the religious world expecting? They think the Antichrist is going to show up in the near future. But John, in one of his short books, said that even now the Antichrist is in the world. Okay, so even then, it was in the world. So John saw that this negative spin on authority was going to get out of hand sometime by the end of the Piscean Age. So the Piscean Age represents this powerful authority. And the authority is the mark of the beast. He saw a beast rise up out of the sea with 7 heads and 10 horns and 10 crowns upon his heads. This beast represented powerful authority. We won't go into everything that the beast means right now, but then we have the beast and the image of the beast. These all represent extensions of powerful misuse of authority. Now, well, there's two types of authority. There's earned authority and unearned authority. Now, authority, even in this age, has good aspects to it if it is an earned authority. In other words, if you're going to learn Spanish and your teacher can demonstrate that he can speak Spanish and he can write it and he knows all about it, he is an earned authority. And when he teaches you something about Spanish, you think, well, it's probably true because he has demonstrated it to be true. But if you have another teacher that can't speak it, that says, yeah, I can teach you, well, then you're not sure if you can trust him or not when he tells you how a word is pronounced. Maybe he's right, maybe he's wrong. But if he demands that you can believe him, whether he has an earned authority or not, then that's the misuse of authority. And we see that misuse all the time in our system today. The government comes out with something like, say, the current vaccine, it's completely safe. We don't know if it's safe or not, but if anyone doubts it, they will. They want to punish us. If somebody believes it, fine, it may or may not be safe, but we should have the freedom to doubt. They don't give us the freedom to doubt. They say if the government decrees something, we're just supposed to accept it without doubt. If we doubt, then they want to punish us. So the beast will come forward, and he will permeate society, and he will demand that we have a mark in the right hand or the forehead. So how do the... it says, without this mark, we can't buy or sell. So how do the regular fundamentalist Christians interpret the mark of the beast? Anybody know?
Tattoo or something. Like a physical mark.
Right. Physical mark, or have you heard about the computer chip being planted in your right hand?
A lot of people, he gets the vaccine with some of the mRNA in it.
Yeah.
So I've heard that a lot lately.
Yeah. Okay. So, it never made a lot of sense to me putting a computer chip in the forehead, though. I wonder how they figure that. Okay, so other people think the barcode is the mark of the beast because apparently it has 666 on it somehow. And so they come up with all kinds of things that they figure the beast will be doing to prevent us from buying or selling. Now, what's interesting is during the rise of Hitler, a lot of people thought he might be the Antichrist, and he decided to put a mark in people's hands. And since he read the Bible, he thought, well, I don't want to be compared with the beast, so I'm not going to put it in the right hand, I'm going to put it in their left hand. So with the Jews, he put the mark in their left hand rather than their right hand. So he wouldn't be compared to being the beast. And if he would have put it in the right hand, people would have a lot more evidence to show that he was an agent of the beast. So I thought that was kind of clever thing for him to do, to use the left arm and left hand for the marks that he put in various people. The fact that he put the mark in the left hand did not mean that the Nazis escaped the mark of the beast. They still had the mark of the beast. Okay? The mark of the beast in the right hand. What does that mean?
The deeds.
What is it?
The deeds. The
right. They're your deeds, your labor. The right hand symbolizes labor. It means that the labors that you perform have to be approved by unearned authority. Okay? So the mark on the forehead, what does that mean?
The way you think.
The thoughts that you think and believe in must be approved by an unearned authority. That would be the mark of the beast. Now, I realized this, I come to this realization when I was in the Mormon church about to be excommunicated. I thought, they are the mark of the beast. They put the mark of the beast in the forehead. If you think different, they will get rid of you. And that's what happened to me. I escaped the mark of the beast by declaring I do not have to think the way I've been told to think by people that don't know the truth. You know, the people that are unearned authorities are telling me what to think, and I do not have to participate, so I can escape the mark of the beast. And in the Revelations 14:1, it tells about people that escaped the mark of the beast. And where did they have the mark? It where? Right. The name of God in their foreheads. Right. It said they had the name of God in their foreheads. Instead of the mark of the beast in their foreheads, it says the 144,000 that followeth the Lamb whithersoever he goeth hath the name of God in their foreheads. Not the mark of the beast. These are people who escaped the mark of the beast. But what does it mean to have the name of God in your forehead? What does that mean?
Following your inner light, your own soul.
Right. That means you realize that God can speak to you personally. That you have within you a spark from God. You have within you a connection to God that bypasses any outward authority. If you have a revelation, an intuition, an instinct that comes to you from your God, the God within your forehead, and the crown, the Ajna Center right here in the forehead, is said to be the throne of God. And God sits in between these two petals, the petal here, and the throne of God is here. And this is where the throne of God is within the forehead, that you can tune into and bypass any mark of the beast. So you can escape the mark of the beast in the forehead by focusing on God sitting on his throne in the forehead. So it says 144,000. Does that mean, like the Jehovah's Witnesses taught, until recently at least, when they exceeded the number, that there's only going to be 144,000 in heaven and then that's it?
It says that a multitude or a number too numerous to mention.
Yes, the Jehovah's Witnesses were kind of funny there. They taught that when they were a small church, they taught that there was a limit. Then when the people claiming to be getting revelation that they were the 144,000 or one of them, when they exceeded 144,000, then they went back to the Bible and they found, well, there's another group in here that might get into heaven. So they're squeezing more people in now. But it's funny how that happens when the scriptures don't quite fit people's interpretation, then they can alter their interpretation to make it fit their mindset. No, the 144,000 is just a symbolic number. It's a molecular number representing what you might call a human cell. It doesn't correspond 100% to human cell, but it's a a molecular combination where when there is 144,000 with soul contact, they will reach a life form together that it says they follow the Christ whithersoever he goeth. Okay. So they will be like 144,000 messiahs, so to speak. But that's just one number. Then there will be a second 144,000, and then a third 144,000. So it's not a limiting number. It's a number of a combination that will produce some spectacular results when that number is reached.
It could be like a planetary DNA.
Yeah.